Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am profoundly, deeply, and moved by the fact that you're listening to me on this 29th day of June 2019. My gosh, time, as they say, is flying, even though there isn't any. Here we are in the end of June already. I want to thank you for listening. It is not by happen chance or by accident that you're listening, believe it or not. There is something to all of this, and I am grateful that for this brief moment in time in your life, I have your ear a little bit, and I hope to be able to use it wisely and to be able to help you. I want to remind you that these radio programs and everything I do, from my hospital work to my hospice work to just about everything I do, and there's a lot, my work with the BATMO, everything is based on your support, your kind gifts that make all of this possible, your tax-deductible gifts. And I can't thank you enough for allowing me to be here. I'm deeply moved and deeply humbled by the fact that many of you care to help. But we need more. There's no doubt about it. The world is changing rapidly, and it's not going in a good direction. Believe me, it's not going into the direction of the light. So it is important that programs such as the one that is offered here, the TV programs that you can see on the website at aspire.org, and your loving help to help me sustain my ability to go to the hospital. I was there just yesterday working with a student who is having a very difficult time. And I was just sitting there thinking, you know, everybody finds themselves in the hospital one way or the other eventually. And when you're working with someone, I consider it a great honor, but I can only be there because of your kindness. The same thing with hospice. There are a lot of people that make transitions and have great difficulty with their health. And it's important that someone be there to talk to them, to have quiet time with them, and to put things in perspective. And that's part of the work I do, my job. So it is only your gift that makes this possible. Someday you might find yourself in the position my student just found herself in, and other people do, where you're sitting there listening to doctors telling you this, that, and the other, and it's hard to put it all in perspective that the lifestyle you once knew is going to change or go away entirely. And it is my opportunity, my job, to help people acclimate into love, acclimate more deeply into their situation. And you make that possible with your gifts. And you may be sitting there one day in the same position my student found herself in. She had no idea this was going to happen, and all of a sudden, there she is. And it all kind of gels into a moment where you feel gratitude for someone being there to talk to and to help. And your gifts make all that possible. And I hope that you will become a sponsor and help us sustain not only this radio program, but everything I do to serve humankind. It goes on 24/7. Believe me, it does. It never ends. Anyway, go to the website at aspire.org, and there you will see support at the top of the page. If you click on that, a drop menu will come down and says, "Why support Aspire?" If you click on that, it will tell you everything you need to know. Come and help us. We need your help. We really do. Motivation is our subject for today. What is motivation? The reason or reasons one has for acting or behaving in a particular way, according to the dictionary. A general desire or willingness of someone to do something. That's motivation. I think it's kind of an interesting thing. It doesn't talk about what the quality or the source of the motivation is or what the reason is. Everybody thinks they have a reason, and pretty much it's self-contained and self-preservation. But nonetheless, and less than none, here we are with motivation and how you motivate yourself. So I picked out three questions that I've had for about a month, and I thought I could congeal these into a program for you. And so here we go. First one comes from Tabor. And Tabor lives in Michigan. What is the proper motivation for what you deem spiritual awakening? Tabor. That's a great question, Tabor. What is it that is the proper motivation for spiritual awakening? It is a very good question, and I'm going to give it to you. But the trouble is, Tabor, like everything in the realm of the spiritual, it isn't something that is reasonable. And it has nothing to do with a quote-unquote general desire. It doesn't have anything to do with any of those things. I don't know how to say this to you, but just to give it to you as plainly as I possibly can, and I hope that this really helps you. It must be thoroughly understood that everything that occurs to us in our life occurs to break us down, to like a wild stallion, to break us down and to bring us to a place where we can be humble enough to feel the pull towards love. You're not being punished for what is happening in your life. You're not being tortured. Whatever happens in our life, we all have a way of bringing on by our attitudes and our inner motivations. Many a student has come to me with the idea, if I get spiritual, if I just do this, these acts of meditation, eventually things will change. And when I ask them, what do you mean by things will change? What things? They mean their life and getting the things they want. And it just doesn't work that way. And an authentic spiritual practice is not motivated by the fact of trying to have a better life or have things change that would make for a better life. It isn't about that at all. And I don't know how else to tell you that you have to feel the proper, shall we say, motivation, as you would ask me here, Tabor, is you must be so convinced, I'm going to use this word, and so broken from the perils of living in the pedestrian mentality, living in a society that is filled with greed and selfishness and self-preservation. You must be so worn out, tired. Lao Tzu said, wear out, become new. So tired of living in this fickle body of ours that one moment is feeling good, the next moment is not. It's very moody. And you have to feel some sense of, I got to get out of this place, you know, like the animals sang in the 60s. But you don't use death as a way to do it. You use transformation. You use the power of transcendence in you. You're not looking to make sense out of this whole thing. You have to be motivated by the whole idea of transcending, moving beyond the concepts and the beliefs of the human body, the human brain, going into the depths of your spirituality rather than the biology that you and I tend to suffer from. I strongly, Tabor, would have you read Behave by Robert Sapolsky. It's a great book. It is about biology. It is about why we do the things we do And then when you understand what you're up against in that biology, then you can change maybe your gestalt, your inner gestalt, and begin a process of spiritual awakening. This is what I do with my students at retreats and workshops and such. I get them ready to have, through meditation, a way of transcending. Now, you're asking, you know, about spiritual awakening, what's the proper motivation? You can't be motivated, you know, like you would, oh, if I do this, I do that, I have this strong desire to have something change in my life and blah, blah, blah. That is not the proper motivation, because when things get tough and the ego starts looking at what you're doing with meditation and maybe a structural change in your life where you make your daily living a fact of following the way, you make your home an ashram, as it were, and you live kindly and quietly and humbly, your ego isn't going to like that. Just is not going to like that at all. So you're going to have a motivation that exceeds the desire to fulfill your life with happy things, things that you think are going to make you more powerful and successful. So that is a humble thing. So to answer your question just bluntly, you have to become humble. Humility is the motivation, true, authentic humility. And when you can take what should be first in your life and keep it there rather than what is last in your life, like your spiritual practice, you must bring it to the first place rather than putting it last. When you're willing to live your life in a sense of tremendous forgiveness, and you will know when you have forgiven, because you will become immensely generous, so generous that your ego won't be able to handle it. People always ask me, well, how will I know? You will know, because you will feel a profound sense of generosity where you're willing to give the farm away. Yes. Because you see, it means nothing. You want to be free. So the proper motivation for spiritual awakening is to realize the futility of the human body, the futility of living for and from the ego, and the humility to practice love, forgiveness, and generosity at a level that would be startling to your ego, Tabor. And I highly, highly doubt most people would do it. Maybe you will, and that would be lovely. Please forgive me. Namaste. I get questions like this, and it's like putting a gun to my head and, you know, tell us the truth. But who wants the truth? As, you know, Jack Nicholson said, you can't handle the truth. And that's a difficult thing for people to do. But those who have a sense of the heart and humility, which the true heart provokes in us, understand the answer and are not confused. The next question comes from Claire. She does not tell me where she lives. Without passion, there can be no motivation. This is my feeling. You do not teach passion. You say it's bad. How can you say that, Claire? Claire, passion comes from emotion. Emotion comes from human body. It's usually about the anticipation of something that will give the human body more comfort and what you might call security, which means money. So when you're talking about passion and you're thinking about being motivated by an energy, a human energy that has nothing to do with the meaning of love, the meaning of life itself, you're really entering into something quite difficult. Very, very difficult. The human body only wants to be comfortable. It does not want to think that it is dying, and it wants to believe that it can do whatever it wants to do, when it wants to do it, how it wants to do it. It just wants to believe all these things. It has a tremendous amount of belief in it. And the genetics that we have within our bodies sustain all of this. And pretty soon, before you know it, you and I have built a tomb for ourselves by being motivated strictly and entirely upon the passion of our emotionality, which, by the way, is genetic. So you're drawing from the genetics of many, many people that live in you, genetically speaking, in your DNA, and blah, blah, blah. And that is your motive. Again, I bow to the book Behave. It will help you immensely. So now you have kind of the insight of what to do. Now, without passion, you say, I'm against it. I wouldn't say I'm against it. I caution about having way too much of it. If you have way too much passion, you're going to say and do things that are unnecessary, that are unkind. You're going to do things that denounce the soul and do not bring you into the clarity of the heart. You're going to do things to get something done that you think is going to change the gestalt of your life in some way or another. And that isn't going to happen. That's just not. So let's use a kind of a silly example here, and maybe this might help. And this is a silly example, but just kind of go with me. I am sure that there was a depth of great passion in Jesus when he was being crucified. He even said, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? That was a passionate statement. I'm sure that passion was very pronounced in the human part of him at that moment. All that passion didn't get him off the cross. Okay? You just have to look at it from this point of view. So he had no other choice but to transcend the whole experience. And he surrendered his body for the sake of his spirit, his soul, for love. Now, I use that as an example only to share with you what it might look like to the human being. There was much more involved in this than all of that. And I'm not going to go into it here on the radio. It's just too much. But that gives you a little overall view of what passion might look like. If you look, Claire, at all of the difficulties you probably ever had in your life, you will see they were there and are there due to the fact of passion, having a great deal of passion. And that passion makes me blind to compassion. When I am passionate, I cannot be compassionate. There is a little passion in compassion. It is not feeling sorry for another person, and it's not sympathetic. It is a very strong sense of inner direction where you are looking at a situation and realizing what is in it, what you're really facing. And it isn't whatever it is that is the biology of it or the circumstances of it. It's not even the pathology of it, mental and emotional. So when you're clear of this passion that makes people do all sorts of silly things, unkind things, stupid things, you start to realize inside of yourself what you're all about, and you start to realize how much of our life has been spent, really spent, on the passion that would have us do things that karmically come back to us in many ways that are just useless and unnecessary, unkind. This is very, very important for you to understand. So it isn't about the passion. It is about the compassion. It isn't about having a vibrant sense of emotionality over something and feeling what you might say strong and passionate about something. It is about intuition, because in passion, you give up intuition. I give up intuition. And then we don't know what it is that we're doing. I've never been passionate about things that were really important. Things that were deeply important in my life came through compassion. And once you understand that, once you get an insight into that, once you have a willingness towards compassion, then compassion replaces passion. And love flows. And it's a very, very beautiful thing. Honestly, it is, Claire. I hope that answered your question for you. I hope it helped you even more. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question. This is from Hank in Texas. I'm motivated by desire for good, and I only am motivated for good. Is that wrong, Hank? Well, Hank, I'm not here to say right or wrong, okay? I don't know what you call good. You know? I don't know. So I've always found what's good for one thing isn't always good for another. I've always found that the good that I thought was good may not be good for someone else. So I don't get too involved in all of that good, bad, right, wrong stuff. Okay, I just don't. But I do think that it is very, very important to be motivated, not in the tradition of reason and logic, but to be deeply moved. And to me, the greatest motivation is the movement towards love. The thing that is the deep pull towards love that compels you to do everything. When I was a little boy, I, for my birthday, went to see Ben-Hur. And in the scene of Ben-Hur, I saw this hand of love bring a cup of water to Judah in the desert. I had never seen anything like that in my life. It was a profound moment in my life. And Hank, when I saw that bravery, that compassion to give Judah water in the desert and save his life, I realized right there, I wanted that cup. I had to know what that cup was. And when I saw it being given to Judah, and then I saw Judah turn around and give it back to the man who handed him that cup in the desert years ago, I realized I wanted not only to receive that cup, but to be able to give that cup. And that has been the motivation for my life. You have to be the one who gives the cup. You have to want nothing with all of your heart. And I've been through so many trials and tribulations, both getting that cup and giving that cup. This radio program is about giving you that cup. And I hope I'm able to do it for a long time to serve you. That's what motivation is for me. Whether you call that good or not, it is not up to me. I think what Jesus said is true. There is none good except God. And he meant love when he said that. There is none good but love. Because God is love, as he said. And if you understand that, you have a perspective that most people just don't have. It is all about love. I'm out of here. Thank you, Hank, for your beautiful question. I hope it helped. Please forgive me. Namaste. Well, there you are. I hope this program served you well, and that you'll consider being a sponsor, too. We need your help. Really, we do. Please forgive me, eh? We'll be back on the air tomorrow. Namaste.